Welcome to another exciting message from God's Word. We're studying the book of Acts from Greece, from the Greek language, from the Greek text. And behind me is a chart talking about God's plan of the ages, and imposed upon this chart is a church history chart. Now, some people have called the book of Acts the Acts of the Churches. And what it is apostolic history. The history of the churches, or church history. We're in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. If it wasn't for the book of Acts, we would not know much about church history in the early century. The book of Acts tells about Paul and Peter's ministries among the churches. And it tells about problems in the church. The evolution of theology would begin in the book of Acts. What we might call merchandising the Word of God begins in the book of Acts. We will see that later on. Merchandising the gifts of God would begin in the book of Acts. And we see how God looks upon these things with great disdain. I'll read this from the Greek language and then we'll translate it. And I'll tell you about the words that are there. We have done all of the New Testament from Greek except the book of Acts. And I'm going to go back as soon as I can and finish the book of Exodus, Wielei Shemot, from Hebrew. Hois kai parestesen, iauton zonta meta ta pathein, auton in palois, tek mi riois, di hemeron, tesar rakonta, apta nomenos. Autois kai legon ta peri, tais basileus tu theou. Now let's go back and look at these words. Very beautiful language. To whom also he presented himself. Now you have to go back to verse number 1 and 2 and find the rest of the story here. So let's go back and read that from the Amplified Bible. In former account which I prepared, O Theophilus, and he's talking about the Gospel of Luke. And the writer here is Luke. By the way, the word Luke is the same word as Lucifer. Luke means light bearer, or light, or enlightened. And Lucifer is the full pronunciation of the name Luke. Lucos, or Lucifer. Lucifer is the Latin word for Hillel in Hebrew. Now, Lucifer, or Luke, is not a bad name. Even though Lucifer became Satan, his name was a good name. And many children, preachers' kids, are named Luke, which is Lucifer. In the former account which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach. This is in the infinity, but he kept on doing them even after his ministry through his church. Until the day when he was ascended, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, special messengers whom he had chosen. To them he also showed himself alive. All right? That's what it's talking about. To them, to whom he also presented himself living. Living, not dead. The word living there is zonta, and it's present participle, active, nominative, singular, masculine. He was living continuously. He was not dead any longer. The body was no longer dead. After his crucifixion, after his suffering as to him, in many infallible proofs. This word, tekmerios. Tekmar is a fixed mark. A mark. That is a standard. And Luke is saying here that this book and what Jesus did is beyond the standard. Beyond it. Beyond and above all proofs. Infallible tokens of and facts. Exact, fixed, plain facts. Clear proof. This little word is a second declension word in Greek. Infallible proof. Exact proofs. Fixed mark. Through days 40. Now look at the word 40 days there now. Through days 40. How many 40s are there in the Bible? That is quite a number, 40 is. Moses was up on the mountain 2 times 40. Up on Mount Sinai. He went up there. It was 40 days. God gave him plates. He went down, broke those plates. He went back on the mountain 40 days more. And I don't think he had anything to eat for at least 80 plus days. Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Now the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have Jesus 40 more days before he goes up. 40 more days. He wasn't with them all of those 40 days, but he was with them during that 40 days. Being seen by them and speaking the things concerning the basileus to you, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. He told them about the kingdom of God. Now they were very confused about the kingdom of God. Now as we look back, we have all of the Bible, all of the revelation. We have no continuous revelation, people. As Catholicism teaches and as the charismatic movement teaches, there is no more revelation. No more. We have all of it. We have more than enough proofs. Jesus did miracles to prove that he was Messiah. The apostles did miracles to prove they were receiving the inspired word of God. And when that word was finalized, those gifts were ceased. I wrote my master's thesis on the near cult. And it talked about all the gifts. The gifts. And what they were for and how long they lasted. We have 3 gifts left in the churches today, and that's faith, hope, and love. Faith is a gift. For in grace you're having been saved through faith. And that is not out of you. It is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. And then we have in verse number 4. Let's look and see what it says here. Kai sila zimanos. Parang gelen, autois apo ruslima me korize se, ala parimenein tain apongalion tu patros ein akusate mu. And coming together, the church came together. He charged. And that is, verse there is indicative and active. When something is indicative, it's a statement of fact. Now he charged this church, parangelein. It comes from para and angelo. The word para on the front of that means it intensifies that charge. This charge is a demand and an absolute edict. And he charged to them from Jerusalem not to depart. Don't you split from here. That's what the word is. Karize say. Don't split. Don't split. Each and every one of you stay. Present infinitive middle voice. Each and every one of the church members do not leave. Don't leave Jerusalem. I have something special for you. But, strong adversity of conjunction, to remain. Remain around. Hang around. Hang around. Wait around the promise. Wait around the promise of the Father, which ye have heard from me. Which ye have heard from me. Verse number 3 and 4. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidence, and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. And while being in their company and eating at the table them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said to you, you heard from me. You heard it spoken from me. Verse number 5 now. In the wilderness, Moses was commanded by God to build a tabernacle, a skenane, a tabernacle, a tent. And the tent would have a fence around it. And it would have many layers of material over that tabernacle. It would have 48 boards of acacia wood. 48 boards. Boards or wood is a type of humanity. And over those boards was pure gold. They were covered with pure gold. And they all stood on end around. 48 boards. 4 times 12, 48. And over this was a several different kinds of material. It all, the most beautiful material, was in the very bottom of it, where no one on the outside could see it. On the outside was kind of a brownish colored skin. And then inside you had 2 compartments. In the first compartment is this Kadesh, holy place. In there, as you walked in, to the right, the table of showbread. Straight forward is the altar of incense. And to your left was a candlestick with 7 lampstands on it. What they were is they had wicks in those bowls on every one of them and olive oil poured in there. Then they had to dress those wicks daily, and they had to make sure olive oil was in there, consecrated olive oil. In the next room is the Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. In that room is one thing. That's the Ark of the Covenant. You had to go through a curtain to get into there. The first part of that room typified what we might call the earthly ministry of Christ. The table of showbread, he ate with his disciples. Altar of incense, he taught them how to pray. The candlestick, he enlightened them. He said, I am the light of the world. All of the tabernacle represented Jesus Christ. Secondarily, it represents the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first rectangular area in that tent is Jesus' earthly ministry. And it is the earthly sovereign or sojourn of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the veil was there. And in this cubicle veil, smaller room, is the Ark of the Covenant, with 2 angels standing with their wings, 2 cherubim. Cherubim is what it is in Hebrew. With their wings toward. Typifying that there are 2 witnesses to everything that took place in there. And the mercy seat, Jesus is called the mercy seat. And in that Ark of the Covenant, we have the law. We have Aaron's rod, which budded. And we have a golden pot of manna, which the Lord fed Israel with for that 40 years again. When that tabernacle was built, when the tabernacle was finished, God took possession of it. The tribes of Israel were around it in specified places. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Shekinah glory of God, came down and hovered over and set over the Ark of the Covenant. And it remained there. By daytime, it looked like a cloud. By nighttime, it was a pillar of fire. And that cloud led them, and that pillar of fire led them where they were to go. Now, Jerusalem. What happened in Jerusalem was a type of what happened in the wilderness and the tabernacle. And then David wanted to build a house of God, a beautiful temple, for the dwelling place of his God. And God told him, no, you can't, because you're a man of blood. You gather all the material for this great temple, and I'll have your son do it. And Solomon built the temple of God. And when he was finished, the Shekinah glory, the Holy Spirit of God, hovered down over that temple and filled the whole area with his presence. He took possession of it. God took possession of the tabernacle. He took possession of the temple. And now, remember, table of showbread, altar of incense, fellowship, prayer, and light. Now, Israel, Jerusalem, Israel, the Lord told his church, you remain here in Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And let's see what he says. Hote iwanes man baptizein hidate himes de en numate baptisteste. Hagiu u meta palos tautes emeros. And John. John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And Jesus said something to them. I baptize you in water, but he that comes after me will baptize you in spirit holy and fire. The pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. This would happen again the third time. Threes in the Bible are very important. Threes. We have the earth that was, the earth that is, and the earth that shall be. We have the tabernacle, we have the temple, and we have the church. The tabernacle is the type of the church in the world today. The temple is the type of the church in its millennial reign over here. And that church will be up in glory with the Lord. And probably the resurrected David will be ruling from Jerusalem. Because we have the Davidic covenant. And we have the Abrahamic covenant that must be fulfilled because they are what we call unconditional covenants. Because John, indeed, a little particle of affirmation, that's kind of like amen there. It's man. He dipped in water, but ye in spirit, shall be baptized, immersed, and dipped in spirit holy. Not many days after these days. Not too many days after these days. we see this. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward covenant. Many people get baptism mixed up with salvation. Baptism is not a vehicle of grace. Like you don't get saved by baptism. Here a while back I talked about the seven sacraments from hell, where the Catholic Church has seven sacraments, seven vehicles of grace. There is only one vehicle of grace in the history of the world, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead. John, indeed, he dipped you in water. But not many days from now, I will dip you in the Holy Spirit. John said that many times that Jesus would baptize them in the Holy Spirit. The word ecclesia, or church, or assembly, better translated, are those called out. John the Baptist called people to repentance. Of those people that came for repentance, all of them that repented, he baptized. And he baptized those church members that were to be church members. They were baptized by John. And then baptism. Baptism was not given to the church on the day of Pentecost. The Lord's Supper was not given to the church on the day of Pentecost. Apostles were not given to the church on the day of Pentecost. All of these things were given to the church during the earthly ministry of Christ. Think about it. Think about it. Go read about it. I know that may be totally foreign to what you've been taught all your life. The church's birthday, the church is on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't. The church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. The church was gifted with a light. Remember? In the tabernacle, you walk in there. To the right is fellowship, the table of showbread. In the front is prayer. On to the left, there is a candlestick, the light. In the church will be the light of the world. And the church, to be the light of the world, had to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is what would enable all of the apostles and the writers of the Bible to write the Bible. Matthew wrote Matthew. Mark wrote Mark. Luke wrote Luke. John wrote John. And Luke again writes the Acts of the churches, or the Acts, the book of Acts in the New Testament. Let's look into one more verse here now. Homen un thini thineo thontes eroton auton legontes kyrie in to chronon tuton apokathitanes tain basilian tu Israel. And the ones indeed, therefore, having come together, they kept on interrogating, repeatedly interrogating. This is what we call third person plural, imperfect indicative active. They kept on doing this. They were obsessed with this question, saying, Lord. Now, actually what they said here, now they said, Lord, this is the time that the kingdom is supposed to be returned to Israel. This is the time that returns back the kingdom to Israel. This is the time. Now, they made a statement of fact, because that's first class conditional particle right there. Since, this is the time. But it was asked in kind of a question. This is the time, isn't it? Jesus, isn't this the time that the kingdom is supposed to be returned unto Jerusalem, or unto Israel? National Israel. The Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. What's going on here? What's going to happen? Aren't you going to lead your armies? They had read in the Old Testament where he would. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, the writer John again tells us, Adonai Ha'adonaim, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, shall come, riding on a white horse, and take over his kingdom. And he shall wipe out his enemies. And he will tread out the winepress of his wrath of God, as it said in the Old Testament many places. That is not now. This isn't the time. I believe the writer Luke wants the Roman Empire to realize that the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are not a threat to the Roman Empire or any other kingdom. Jesus told Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world, but it will be someday." What would happen? Israel rejected her Messiah, as we come right up to here. The law ended, the cross of Calvary. They rejected the Messiah. Not only did they reject the Messiah, they murdered him. In the next chapter of the book of Acts, Peter said, "You crucified the Lord of glory." And they did. We have the church age. The church age has gone on and continued now for about 2,000 years. About. And then what happens? Then we have the rapture, the rapture, the rapture, the rapture, apostle in Greek, the snatching away of the church. And then we have a tribulation period to bring Israel back to God. Israel to this day, I mean, they use God as a national asset. But they're still in violence with their God. They've still done violence to God's Son. They're still outlaws in the kingdom. But God will get them ready for that 1,000-year kingdom on this earth. Epites geis, el ha'aretz. On this earth there will be a kingdom for 1,000 years. Israel will lead out in the worship of God for 1,000 years. There will be 1,000 Feast of Tabernacles. And Israel, the headquarters will be in Jerusalem, the real Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, Israel. Donald Trump made a strong suggestion that national Israel, your capital is Jerusalem, not Tel Aviv. Your embassy will be in Jerusalem, not Tel Aviv. That's where it should have been all the time. And they, therefore, having come together, they kept on interrogating him. This is the time for national Israel to receive the kingdom of God. And Jesus gives them a little answer in verse number 7. Epan de pros autos uk himon esten none konus a kairos hus ho pater etheto en te idia exousia. And he said to them all, not to ye it is to know this time, the times, the chronos, or the seasons, which the Father he placed for himself in his own authority. The word authority there, exousia, means no limits. Authority without limits. Power without limits. It's not time for you. It's not time for you to understand this yet. Wait till you receive the rest of the New Testament. And in the, look, and in Thessalonians it says that the rapture shall take place. Do not be deceived. Many shall come in my name. Over and over and over again it tells us in the New Testament about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, the book of Jude. The book of Jude quotes the book of Enoch. the book of Enoch was eschatology. And now we live in the last times. We live in those times. Churches have begun to merchandise the Word of God. Churches have become entertainment centers. Churches are user-friendly. Church history. We live in the Laodicean church age. People do what's right in their own eyes. We all see how we can do this. The world has been turned upside down with the evolution of theology and theological ideas. You look back in church history and you find out one of the greatest problems, one of the first problems that come into church was the polity of the church. Big churches began to coerce or manipulate and to lord over other churches. There were big churches and little churches. As Jesus called out assemblies where there are two or three in my name, I will be there in the midst of you. A church can be as little as two people. I imagine a church could be as little as one person in some areas. But churches are supposed to grow. Churches are supposed to grow. And I don't mean to grow with the expense of letting down the bars of the theological teaching of the Bible. You don't preach on church authority. You don't preach against this. You don't preach against that. I remember one time Brother Dr. Hoyt Chastain said he went and preached at this church one time. And the pastor said, "Now, we've got a few people that tip the bottle, so don't preach on drinking. Don't preach against drinking. We got some of them that gamble and play cards and all that, so it wouldn't be a good idea to preach against gambling. And we got a few people that are a little bit promiscuous, so it wouldn't be a good idea to do that. Preach against promiscuity and immorality." But he said, "We don't have one Church of Christ person in this church, so just give them the dickens. Preach against all of that." Well, we're supposed to preach the Word of God. However it falls, when you're preaching the world, that's the Word of God, that's the way it is. And through the book of Acts, we're going to find all kinds of theological arguments. And we'll get the answer to those. I pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do not, just being religious is not enough. You have to have a time in your life when you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and ask His forgiveness. He had to become Lord of your life. He either is Lord or He is not Lord. Either Jesus is your Lord or Satan is your Lord. One or the other. You don't do your own thing, people. You may think you're doing your own thing, but you're not. You're either doing the Lord's things or you're doing Satan's things. Let Satan have no part in your life. Let the Lord come into your life. Let Him rule your life and bless you. You want to see how good things happen to bad people and bad thing happens to good people? Look in the book of Acts. And the epistles. Acts is a book of church history and the history of people's lives and how they reacted to different situations in their world and their time. Father, I pray that you use this message to honor and glorify you, that you build up your people out there, that you touch their lives with your word and your spirit. we're still in that church age, Father. We even know. We need your light. We need your fellowship. And we always need to pray to you. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. And watch over all my students all over the world.